Ivan, David has been away on preaching engagements. We've been looking at some of the parables which Jesus taught. It's been a little while since we looked at these, and a few months ago now we looked at the first part of the wheat and the tares. So just to try and bring us up to speed and where we were, we'll take a wee little look at what we looked at last time. So it was on our first night, we looked at that small parable, the treasure hidden in the field, and the parable of the pearl of great price. And you'll remember that both these parables speak of the same thing. They speak of the same thing, that is, that Jesus Christ is the one who gets us into the kingdom of God, into heaven itself. And we noticed on that occasion that all men must find the treasure hidden in the field. The pearl of great price must be found, and Jesus Christ is to be found in the Bible, and this is where we find the treasure and the pearl of great price. This is where they are found. But we notice too that it was not just enough to find them, but rather they must buy Christ. Not with silver and gold, we know we can't gain the kingdom of heaven like that, but rather in the context of the parable, it means we must lay aside all that this world would keep, that all that this world would keep us from owning the Lord Jesus Christ. We must give up all things of this world that we might buy Christ. Then last time we began to look at the parable of the wheat and the tares, and we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ got the attention of his disciples and his hearers. He tells them a parable, and they simply can't work it out. They can't work it out. So what do? Well, they put away their embarrassment, and they say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." And so the Lord Jesus Christ begins to explain to them the parable. Verse 24, the good seed. You and I are the good seed. All the good seed is sown by the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is Christ's field. He has sown us by his hand. So if you're here tonight, you're born again Christian, you've been sown into this world, a good seed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw that Christ's enemy is our enemy. Just as Jesus sows the good seed, then so the devil is sowing his seed. He's sowing the tares. Verse 25. And we saw that quite often he does his dirty work under the cover of darkness. And then lastly, we saw that the householder is a good manager. The farmer in the parable knew immediately the problem. Verse 28. An enemy have done this. And we saw that our great householder, the Lord Jesus Christ, he looks after the good seed. He looks after you and me, and he knows all his enemies. So that's a rough overview of where we have come to in the parable thus far. So our theme tonight is where the tares go. Where the tares go. And the first thing we want to see tonight is, our first point is, don't be hasty. Don't be hasty. Verse 28. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? The servants of the householder are hard working. They're hard working men. Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? The tares are everywhere. The enemy has done a good job in sowing. And these servants are not afraid of hard work. They don't mind getting the shirt off and getting tore in to the work. These servants would have had a good idea of just how long it would have taken to rid the field of these tares. It would have been a backbreaking job, to say the least. But it's the tone of their question. The tone of their question would indicate that they wanted to go right away and pull up the tares. In other words, they were saying, boss, we're ready. We're ready to go and break our backs for you, our master. Just give us the go ahead and we will go and do it. Well, what can we learn from these words? Well, it's simply this. Don't be hasty. Whenever a problem arises in your life, what's the most natural thing to do? Well, quite often we'll act hastily and we'll try and solve the problem ourselves. We don't consult with the householder, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we leave him out of our problems, we'll make many a mistake. We need to take our problems to Jesus and ask him, the one who is all wise, the all wise being, to help us. You see, you might want to sort out a problem in your own way, but Jesus might well say, nay, no, don't do it in that way. Verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But he said, nay. The servants wanted to go and root out the tares, but the householder wisely prevented them from doing so. Nay, don't do that. I want a harvest. While you're pulling out the tares, the wheat, you may pull out the wheat with them. What's the spiritual meaning here? Well, it's this. The Lord Jesus Christ, his answer is simple. And after all, he is the greatest teacher that has ever been and ever will be. Now, like we said last time, the wheat and the tares are growing together. The believer and the unbeliever, they both walk this world together. You remember we said we share the same space, the same ground, we share the same water, the same sunshine, the same food. and we share the same church. Yes, that's right, the same church. You see, for the mere mortal human, we cannot absolutely be sure who is the wheat and who is the tare. We can't see inside men's hearts. They can deceive us. And some of them are very good at it. You remember last time we asked the question, why a pearl? When we looked at the pearl of great price, we asked the question, why did the Lord Jesus Christ describe himself as a pearl? Why did he not describe himself as a sapphire or a ruby or even a diamond? Well, maybe you remember the answer. It was simply that in the days of Palestine, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, the pearl was the most sought after jewel. It was the jewel that at that time had the most price. And so Jesus took that pearl that was the most expensive and the most sought after, and he used it to describe himself to his hearers. And tonight he tells us about the tares. And the people of Palestine and the apostles knew very well what a tare was. They're a weed. They were a curse to the farmer then, and they are still a curse to the farmer today. This weed has another name. It's sometimes called the bearded darnel. The bearded darnel. And they were a greater curse than most other weeds at that time. And here's the reason why. You see, in the early stages of growth, these tares, these bearded darnel, resemble the wheat so much. They resemble the wheat so much that it is impossible to distinguish them one from the other. So the tares, the darnel, they're getting a good root system built up before they're even detected, before they are recognized as a tare. Their roots are so intertwined with the wheat that to pull them up, they would simply pull the wheat with them. This is why sessions, presbyteries, synods will go to the greatest length possible before they excommunicate anyone from the church. We simply just can't go willy-nilly pulling up the tares. We can't do it. We just can't pull up the tares whom we presume to be tares. And the reason why is because we might be pulling up some of the wheat while doing so and throwing them out of God's church. So we must be careful. Remember, tares can be very devious, hard sometimes impossible to spot among the wheat. And the Lord Jesus Christ would rather permit the tares to grow among the wheat rather to endanger any of his people. But of course, this does not mean that those who act in a scandalous manner are allowed to wreak havoc in the church. No, they must be dealt with and sanctioned accordingly. So the second thing this evening, we want to see the harvest is coming. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the tares and the wheat continue to grow together. They live side by side in this world. There hasn't been any change since Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. All continues the same, but the day is coming. The day is coming when the harvest must be gathered in. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has sown his field. He has sown the good seed. And from the field, he expects and demands a harvest. And the reapers are ready. Their sickles are sharp. Hell has been made ready for the tares, and the barn ready for the wheat. This is the great separation day. And who is it that will give command to the reapers? Yes, it's the great householder. Verse 30. I will say to the reapers. I will say to the reapers. At the Saviour's command, the reapers will go forth. And the reapers are his angels. They are the ones who are in the householder's employment. And these angels are strong, they're skillful, they're obedient to the householder. The enemies of the householders is their enemies. But the reapers are faithful to the wheat. The reapers are faithful to the wheat. Maybe you're sitting in your seats tonight and you're thinking, I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't want that job of reaping those tares. That's an unthinkable job. Well, if you're thinking like that, you would be wrong. You would be wrong. You see, these angelic creatures are not like you and me. They don't know sin. They are pure and holy creatures. They are the reapers of Christ's righteousness. They are the ones fit to be in his employment. These reapers are not sorrowful. They're not running around complaining about the householder. No, they are rejoicing with the householder. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. These angels are doing what the Master commands them to do. And upon the last day, he will command the reapers, verse 30, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. Where do the tares go? They go to hell. The tares go to hell. They go to the place prepared for them. It's a place that many people in this world today don't believe exists. They're foolish people. They are the tares of this world. And they are the tares that are instantly recognizable. Because you see, if you don't believe in hell, well then you don't believe in heaven. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, then you would know and you should know that your sins truly deserve hell forevermore. All of us deserve hell. But it's God's grace that has been bestowed upon us that has enabled us to repent of our sins and turn to the great householder, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all too willing to accept the repentant sinner. Hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we'll read verses 19 to 23. You'll recognize this passage. Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 to 23. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He lifted up his eyes in hell. The man who fared sumptuously every day died. He was a terror, sown by the devil. He was instantly recognized by the householder and his reapers, the angels. There's something I want you to notice here. You'll notice hell was instantaneous. Look what Jesus says. The rich man died and was buried. Burial took place in those days very quickly. Not like today. But the idea here is that he closed his eyes in death and then immediately lifted up his eyes in hell. He knew where he was, didn't he? He lifted up his eyes in hell. He doesn't open up his eyes and have a little look around, scratch his head, rub his beard, and think to himself, where am I? No. What does the scripture say? He lifted up his eyes in hell. He knew immediately where he was. Immediate. But it gets worse. Let's read the next line of verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a reality check. What a reality check this is for the man who fared sumptuously every day. Now every day for all eternity, his soul and his body is in torments. He was a terror. And all terrors go to hell. There's no exceptions. Judas Iscariot was a terror. He was a terror among the wheat, wasn't he? This terror was unrecognizable. Even to the great apostles. The apostles lived with this man for 3.5 years. Maybe some of them knew him longer than that. They ate with him. They slept with him. And they worshipped with him. But he was a terror. He was a terror among the wheat. Unrecognizable. But that day, he took his own life. After being filled with remorse. When he closed his eyes in death, he lifted up his eyes in hell. The very same place as the rich man who fared sumptuously. Hell is a real place. Brethren, this is the place every unbeliever goes to. Every terror sown by the devil will lift up his eyes in hell. It's a terrible thought. It's a terrible thought, isn't it? But you know, maybe if we thought about it a little more oftener, we would be driven to our knees more often in prayer for those of our families, our kinsmen, our neighbours, our workmates. Maybe if we thought about it a little more often, we might come to the Lord in prayer as we ought to. All those who have been a stumbling block to God's people will lift up their eyes in hell. The atheists, binded together, burned. The persecutors of God's people binded together and burned. The makers of false religion binded together, like the tares binded in the parable, and burned. This is a fitting place for these tares. It's a fitting place for these tares. They will always be in the fire and yet never consumed. It's a terrible thought. Always in the fire and yet never consumed. No wonder there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, there is no comfort in hell. There is no comfort in hell. Not even a sip of water to cool the tongue. The rich man who fared sumptuously would have given all his wealth for just a little drink of water. Our theme tonight has been where the tares go. They go to the place called hell that our God has prepared for them. It's not a nice thought, but it's reality. We live in a world where there's so many reality shows on TV. And life just simply isn't like the reality show on TV. Life has got its problems. You have your problems and I have mine. And if you haven't got them today, you might well have them tomorrow. If you're born of the Spirit of God this night, give thanks to God for your salvation, for the grace that has been bestowed upon each one of us. What wonderful grace that we are the wheat among the tares. May God bless his word to all of our hearts this evening. I think I'd ask David to be the latest in prayer, please.